Priority 1 message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
You are listening to the Trek Ranks Podcast, a member of the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network. This is episode 18, featuring the top 5 two-part episodes. Hello, Star Trek fans. I am Jim Morehouse, and I am the host of the Trek Ranks Podcast. And tonight, you have joined us for part 1 and part 2 of our latest episode of Trek Ranks, as we break down our top 5 two-part episodes. After a few weeks of some real deep cut topics that really took a lot of research and guile, as Worf would say, to participate, today we're dropping down to impulse speed to tackle a much broader, simpler topic. Doesn't get too much more defined than top 5 two-part episodes. And nothing's better than a two-part episode of Star Trek. I mean, I love them. And it's going to be a great episode, and it's going to be made even greater by incredible two guests tonight, both coming to us. Well, one's from live from the England Quadrant. One is coming from us from the Spain sector, but they both have English accents, which you'll pick up on in a second. First up, Rob Chapman, one of our favorites on Twitter and the creator of the Trek Book Club on Twitter. Welcome, Rob. Are you there, buddy?
Yep, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great to have you on, finally. I know we've talked a lot. You were on Trek Live a couple months ago, so it's great to finally get you over here on Trek Ranks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And our second guest tonight is part of the infamous Trekkie Girls on Twitter. She's one of their founders. She's Trekkie Girl Sam, and I've been hoping to get her on the show since we first started. So it's awesome to get you on, Sam. Are you there?
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so great to have you on. We just saw each other in the summer, right?
We did. I was in the Los Angeles sector and paid you a visit. It's a pleasure.
That's right. We got to get caught up on some good Trek talk. And okay, the first thing I like to do every time we have on first-time guests is get your Trek origin story. So, Rob, tell me about you and your Trek background. When did you get into Trek and how?
Oh, right. So how did I get into Star Trek? Quite a while ago, probably when I was about 12 or 13, I started watching Voyager and DS9. And it was really nice because of that. It was kind of like a thing that me and my dad did. So we sat down and we watched an episode and we talked about it. So it was a little bonding experience for me and my dad. We'd always watch episodes together. So that was really nice. And I think a lot of people say this, but it was Star Trek was really good for me because I didn't have the easiest time growing up. You know, my parents got divorced. I didn't see a lot of my mom and my sister. Yep. So it was kind of like I got a sense of security and comfort from Star Trek. So it kind of helped me at a difficult point in my life. So that was cool. And then I had a bit of a break from Star Trek, and then I've kind of got back into it in the last few years. So I think it's probably a common Star Trek origin story. That's mine.
Well, for sure. It's the great unifier, Star Trek, and it is the great comforter, like you just said. Did you, I know, are you you're a completist? You've seen it all?
No, I'm not. No.
I always, this is why I asked. So what have you not seen? I love this.
I've seen all of Voyager, all of DS9, probably about 10 times over. all of TNG just, and probably all of Enterprise just, but I haven't really seen that much of the original series. I've only watched a few episodes here and there.
Someday.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
You have that to look forward to.
Yeah, I need someone to.
I love it.
It pulls me into it.
All right, we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that. All right, and Sam, how about you? How did you get into Trek?
Oh, you know, I don't think there was one moment. I was born into Star Trek. So as a result, I do not know my first episode I ever watched. It would have been The Next Generation. I grew up on TNG. But I don't remember there being a time where there wasn't Star Trek in my life. It was always there in the background. So I grew up a fan. I used to watch it with my parents. And of course, this was just before the internet as well. You know, I was watching it before the internet, so there wasn't that online community that there is now. I had to find my people, find my tribe. And I found Carol, the other Trekkie girl, one of the other Trekkie girls. And we used to be called those Trekkie girls at school, not in a kind way. And we'd spend all day just talking about Star Trek all day and night. And this continued into our adulthood. And we're still talking about Star Trek. One day we thought, why don't we record what we say? Why don't we just talk about it? And that's when we discover other people on the internet who also like Star Trek, and you become part of this global community, which is almost as big as the series itself, isn't it? The fandom side of things. So, yeah, that's my entry into Star Trek. There was no defining moment for it. It's just existed.
That is great. We love Carol, too. We need to get Carol on as well. Awesome. That's going to happen. Yes. All right, let's get into then our Trek Ranks reset before we start the show, just to talk a little bit about general order number one here at the Trek Ranks podcast. And that is, again, that we love Trek and we love to rank Trek, and we do it via some deep dive topics that really just get the conversation started. And hopefully when you listen, you'll have some fun with it and maybe think about a few episodes or ideas that you haven't thought about in a while. And nothing would make me happier than if someone listening right now ends up going back to watch some of these old episodes because of the conversation we're about to have. So, and as my good friend, the Vulcan Master, likes to remind us each week, the main driver for all of our discussion here at the Trek Ranks podcast is...
infinite diversity.
In infinite combinations.
That's right, Vulcan Master. Our mantra here is no wrong answers. It's not about being right or definitive in any way. It's just about sharing the things that we love about Star Trek. And this is a no nitpicking zone, so we don't need any of that. We just love Trek, and whether it's TOS or TNG, all the way through to Enterprise and the Kelvin timeline, and now Discovery, it's all fair game here on the Trek Ranks podcast.
Black alert. Black alert. Black alert. Black alert.
All right, and with that black alert in mind, I just want to remind everyone that Discovery is now in play for selection at any time on Trek Ranks, so that means potential Discovery spoilers as well. So if you haven't caught up yet, you need to get caught up. And we are current for this episode through Season 1, Episode 9 of Discovery. And who knows, somebody might pick a Discovery episode tonight. We will see. Oh, and then I always like to remind everyone that we use episodes as our shorthand, but the 13 films are obviously in play for selection on the topics that apply. So, all right. I know that's a lot, but we always like to get that little reset in at the top of the show. And before we get to our level one diagnostic, let's quickly power up the Argus array so our listeners know exactly how they can message us.
Hailing frequencies are open.
So you can check us out on the World Wide Web at TrekRanks.com and at the TricorderTransmissions.com. And if you'd like to leave us a message with your own picks, you can do that at 609-512-LLAP. That's 609-512-5527. I will give you that number again at the end of the show. You can also find the Tricorder Transmissions on Facebook. And you can reach me on Twitter at TrekRanks and also at Enterprise Extra. So hopefully we'll hear from you, because this show is definitely better when we hear from you. So to wrap it up, Rob and Sam, would you like to tell everyone how they can get a hold of you? Rob?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at TrekkieRob. I'm always happy to chat Star Trek. So, feel free to get in touch with me. And you can also find me on my Trek Book Club on Twitter. So that's at Trek Book Club.
At Trek Book Club, love it. And how about you, Sam?
Just search for Trekkie Girls. We're on Twitter at Trekkie Girls. We're on Facebook as Trekkie Girls, or you can go to TrekkieGirls.com.
All right. I think we are now ready to have Geordi fire up a level one diagnostic.
Diagnostic cycle will be complete in 20 seconds.
All right. Top five two-part episodes. Let's do this. This should be a pretty easy diagnostic. I mean, it's pretty well defined, two-part episodes. Do you guys love two-part episodes as much as I do?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yep, definitely.
Mini movies.
Yeah.
I mean, they always just feel real special, right? Whenever there was a two-part episode, it's like, this is gonna be big and epic.
They always add something. I find they tend to add something to the story arc of Star Trek as a whole as well. You know, this isn't just gonna be a story of the week. This is gonna be important.
Yeah, it's a great point because you know that there was probably going to be a little more depth and layers. So I did want to make sure that when we're talking about this, that so we labeled episodes. I mean, we're not just talking about the labeled episodes part one and two, but also episodes like Enterprise episodes Affliction and Divergence that make up the two part Klingon Augment arc. And you know, it also includes the feature length episodes, which are like Encounter at Farpoint and some of the other pilots that aired as 2 hour episodes. But it does not include episodes like the final two episodes of Enterprise's season 3, which was Countdown and 0 Hour, which are not technically two-part episodes, even though they kind of play that way. But, you know, they're just two episodes in a huge arc. So, and of course, it doesn't include all the three-part episodes in Deep Space Nine and season 4 of Enterprise. So we have a few qualifiers, but of course, none of that matters because we fully encourage the breaking of all of our rules on Trek Ranks. So that's how we roll. Any other thoughts, you guys, on the two-part episodes and how you looked at them?
Well, I got into a right old situation with this. I find ranking – I know it's the whole point of your podcast, but I find it very, very, very difficult to narrow it down from, say, 100. So I decided I had to
be – We love that.
Very strict, and I decided to go with very black and white part one and part two because I love – most of Enterprise season 4, which I'm sure is just a 26 part episode. I had to be really strict. I wanted to include, you know, Battle of the Binary Stars and the Vulcan Hello, but I decided not to. I would open up a can of worms.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges. All right, well, that's let's do this. Let's jump into our prime directive and see how we all narrowed down our lists.
I do not concur with your captain's decision.
She's following our prime directive.
Define prime directive.
Okay, so I like that, Sam. So you tried to keep it just to part one and two episodes?
Absolutely, just for simplicity's sake, to help me narrow things down.
Yes, I like that. So I actually did a little math here. I tallied them up. There's 41 overall two-part episodes in Star Trek, including 1 in TOS, 10 in TNG, 11 from Deep Space Nine, 12 from Voyager, 6 from Enterprise, and like you just said, I'm going to go ahead and count the Vulcan Hello and Battle to Binary Stars as a two-part episode as well.
No, I have
to. This is just for my list. Who knows? You don't have to redo anything. But since it aired as the back-to-back series opener, I figured that would be that's a two-parter. So Rob, how about you? How did you narrow down your list? What factors were guiding your choices?
Well, originally, like Sam, I didn't even consider not having just the episodes that have part one and part two in the title. So I originally just went with that. And then I talked to you, Jim, and then realized, oh, actually, there's quite a few that are kind of two-part episodes that don't have part one and part two in the title. So despite that, I still tended to mainly pick, I think just by chance, because I did look at ones that didn't have part one and part two in their title, but I ended up picking mainly ones that did have part one and part two in their title. But I also looked at mainly the ones that I watch over and over again, the ones that I tried to pick the ones that I watch the most because I enjoy them the most. And I also looked at ones that had really good cliffhangers, because we all like a good cliffhanger, and episodes that tended to focus on some of my favorite characters. So there was quite a few criteria I tended to pick on.
I love that. That was a good breakdown. So Sam, for you, when you came up with you're going to go with the one and twos, how did you break it down from there? Was it just your favorites or something about the series or characters or moments?
Well, my first instinct was to go with favorite, but then I found myself asking what defines favorite. So I thought it had to be poignant to me, not just the fan base or the series, but to me personally, because I'm the guest. And how would I see it as poignant? I think with most fandom and most people's, when they're watching Star Trek, it's based in nostalgia. How did I feel at the time watching it? What does it mean to me now? Have I learned something new from it? And other than that, each episode has their own specific reason as well. Why that particular one stood out for me.
And you said earlier, you know, like the whole point of Trek Ranks is to rank. No, the whole point of Trek Ranks is just to talk about Star Trek. And right. When I'm ranking, it's brutal because I try to get away from this that I always just come down to, okay, if I can only choose one to watch for the rest of my life, in you know, in comparison with another episode, which one would I choose? No, go ahead. What were you saying?
I found myself changing them as I wrote them. Like, I'd include one, and then actually, you know what? I don't have anything. I say it's got to be poignant to me, but I couldn't find anything that was poignant, and I'd suddenly be thinking of another episode. And there's one in particular which I'll speak about. But I started finding all the more I thought about it, the more this stuff came up that I didn't know was there. It was quite interesting.
See, I love it. That's what we love about Trek Ranks. It's just about make you think about Star Trek. Okay. How about, all right, Rob. So you were able to, did you have a lot of secondary systems picks that you had trouble eliminating?
Yeah, I found it a lot more difficult than what I thought I would. I came into it thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, because I'm a big Voyager fan. Initially, I picked pretty much every two-part Voyager episode that was, and I thought, no, okay, I can only have five, so I just gradually narrowed it down more and more. But it was really difficult. I could have easily picked 10 15 20, so I was really strict and tried to stick to my criteria.
All right, well, I feel like this episode is going to be fun, and definitely think that there'll be some duplicates. There has to be, because we have a limited pool. So listen for the Defiant Torpedoes if we hear any duplicates. All right. So let's do this. Third Romaticlon. Let's jump into the order of things.
I am a Jem'Hadar. He is a Vorta. It is the order of things.
All right. So as we go through the order of things, here's just a quick reminder on how we're going to do that. First, each of us will reveal our five-word summary and a hashtag, which is our normal Trek Rank staple, to kind of tease our pick. And we just use that as a way to identify quickly with an episode and let people know how we're thinking about it. And then we'll reveal our episode title and talk a little bit about some of the moments and some of the reasons why it's on our top five list. At the end, we will go through a few secondary system selections for the picks that just missed out on our list. So, Sam, let's start with you. What's your number five pick for two-part episodes?
Last time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
My number five two-part episode is Voyager Endgame.
Ooh.
Endgame, yes. Do you want my hashtag?
Yeah, what's your five words in a hashtag?
I think you'll like this hashtag. I made it extra long, especially for you. It is. Hashtag Janeway is so obsessed with getting the crew home, so she does it again.
I love it.
The fact that she already got Voyager home. She just wanted to do it again and do it properly. And my five-word description is Star Trek, the Voyager home.
Oh, that's good.
That's excellent. So why? What stood out about it? What's your reason for including it?
I went through a lot. I also went through a lot of Voyagers. There were a lot of strong two-part Voyager episodes.
So many.
Researched them. It was a tough one, and this one, I remember the anticipation to this final more than any other, because it was the most recent two-part final, and of all the other series, the finals, I remember that a lot of them have speculation, how will it end? But this one was more, will they get home? And I find myself making parallels to other episodes. There's another ending as well to see, it was All Good Things, a lot of similarities. I think there was a lot of emotion in it. The fact that, I cried, you cried, Harry Quim cried the most. It connects back to a lot of other story arcs, like the Borg. It deals with the timeline, the ethics of altering it. But I think it really encapsulated what Voyager was about. It was about the family and the journey that the crew had built. And that really appealed to me. So that was my key reason for including Endgame.
Yeah, I cried like crazy in the scenes with with Tuvok and Janeway. Oh, those break my heart every time. In the future, for that reason alone, I'm with you.
A lot of people say with Endgame they would prefer to see Voyager be home and continue, but I thought they did it quite good, actually. I quite like the images of a possible future, not right. The actual future, but a potential future. They're there's probably a lot of truth in it. I quite liked that you got that sneak preview into how things may be. Yeah, and it just ended, it kind of completed the arc. I like that.
Agreed. All right, Rob, big Voyager fan, what's your quick take on Endgame?
I love Endgame, controversially, because I know a lot of fans get quite divisive.
Right.
But I really like it. I think, it's a great pick. There's a lot of really emotive scenes in that. It's, you know, it's simply because it's the last episode. You've been on with this, you know, follow this crew for 7 years. Yeah, it's a great episode. Definitely worthy of being picked.
Yep, I'm with you. I think we're on the same page. All right, Rob, what's your number five pick?
My number five is from Deep Space Nine, season five, I think. It's In Purgatory's Shadow, followed by Inferno's Light. And it hasn't got part one or part two, but I'm considering it a two-parter.
It's definitely one of the counts.
Because they really follow on from each other. It's the episode where Garrick and Worf go into the Gamma Quadrant. I think Garrick gets an encoded message from we don't know it's his father yet, but from the Nobrin Tain, the head of the Obsidian Order. I really enjoy that episode, and I've watched it 1,000 times. I like it because it focuses on Garrick, and Garrick's probably my all-time favourite Star Trek character. And it really hones in on him, his character. We see a bit of his character development. We see the war intensifies with the Dominion as Cardassia joins the Dominion in these episodes. We see, I think there's a bit where Dukat's he's got his Klingon bird of prey and he joins the Dominion fleet, and Kira thinks he's going off to fight them, but then he reveals that he's joining them, and it's like, da, da, da. So yeah, that's really good. And there's lots of other great things about this two-parter. So we meet General Martok in these episodes, which is great.
Yep.
We see Kick-Ass Worf fighting the Jem'Hadar, which is great. Garrick faces his claustrophobia to try and get them out of the Jem'Hadar or the Dominion internment camp. There's a great, one of my criteria for picking these was a good cliffhanger. And there's a great cliffhanger in the end of In Purgatory's Shadow where Sisko and the crew of DS9 try to collapse the wormhole. But it's sabotaged by a fake Dr. Bashir.
By the changeling Bashir that actually gave birth to the O'Brien's son. Hilarious. You know that, right? From like three episodes before. Yeah, it was the fake Bashir.
Yeah, I completely hadn't. I've missed that completely. I'm going to go back and watch that now.
Yeah, you have to go back. It's pretty classic. The way it charts out, it was like, oh, that was the changeling Bashir that actually oversaw the birth of Kira's O'Brien baby. Yeah, no, it's go look it up. It's pretty funny.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
God.
Maybe some of the founders are really good doctors.
I love that moment, and I love Inabrin Tain. So any Inabrin Tain stuff makes this an all-time classic episode. Where are you, Sam? Where do you stand on it? Purgatory Shadow.
This is the one with the this is where they're in the internment camp, aren't they?
Yeah, the internment camp. Yep.
Yeah, really an episode, really important to the whole arc, Dominion War arc. Fantastic episode. Good choice. Good strong choice.
And finding out that General Martok is still alive.
Yes. Although I didn't think he was changing the whole way.
Love it. All right. So my number five pick, we'll jump in there, is so for anyone who's listened to Trek Ranks, I'm a bit of a broken record on this pick. So I'm picking it as my number five pick instead of my number one pick, just to get it out of the way, because I couldn't not pick it. It's literally my all-time favorite TNG episode. And my five word in a hashtag is complex hiding hits new heights. Hashtag your blood will paint the way to the future. And it is Redemption, the season four cliffhanger for TNG with Worf's and the leaving to go fight in the Klingon Civil War with the Romulans. And, you know, I thought about not making this pick, but I just couldn't leave it off my list of top five two-parter, because it's the two parts that make it so amazing. It's just layers and layers of depth for the Klingons, the Romulans, the connections to yesterday's Enterprise, the connections to Sin to the Father, and Worf's entire arc. I just love this episode. Gowron, Dura sisters, little punk ass Tyrell and Kern. So for me, this episode expanded the canvas in a way that Star Trek just hadn't seen before in terms of a 2-hour episode. So what, Sam, what do you think of Redemption?
Well, you know what? That's so cool because, you know, I was just thinking, oh, Redemption. Then I'm trying to think, how did it end? I'm like, oh, Selah. That's where Selah. Because that just came out of nowhere, didn't it? You're just watching this Klingon episode and it's Klingon politics. And then suddenly, what on earth? Tasha Yar is a Romulan and it, mind was blown. You couldn't wait to find out more. And she was a brilliant character. It was a great way to get her back in. It was, brilliant job.
I love that too. And it's so fun when you look back now and you see all the clues leading up to it. It's like, well, obviously it's Tasha, but for some reason it did. I was totally blown away when they revealed her at the end of Redemption.
Is that that's the episode with one of my favorite lines? Is it where with Picard, where he says to Lursa and Beto, you know, you handled that with the skill of a Romulan.
Yes.
Excellent tea, ladies. I don't know if that is the episode, but it might be. I can't remember.
Yes, that is exactly the episode, and it's awesome. So, Rob, how about you? Do your memories of Redemption?
I almost picked this. I went back and watched this. I haven't watched it for quite a long time, and it's a great two-parter. Putting Worf in this really difficult situation where he's having to choose between who he is and his people, and who he's working for and his principles. Yeah, it's a great one. Anything with Garon is brilliant.
Yeah, plus you get Data as a captain in the second part.
What are you doing?
In disrupting the detection net, the Romulans may have caused a residual tachyon signature to form around their own ships.
But we have no way of detecting it.
All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
Sir, the fleet's been ordered to Gamma Eridon.
Tachyon signatures will not last long. By the time the fleet is deployed, it will be too late. Begin to reconfigure the sensors to detect ionized particle traces.
The entire area has been flooded with tachyon particles. We'll never be able to find what we're looking for.
I am aware of the difficulties. Please bring the phasers back online.
That will flood 3 decks with radiation.
We will initiate radiation protocol when necessary.
You don't give a damn about the people whose lives you're throwing away. We're not just machines.
Mr. Hobson, you will carry out my orders or I will relieve you of duty.
Yes, sir.
Love that. All right, so let's move on to round 4. Sam, what's your number 4 pick?
Last time on Star Trek Voyager.
Okie dokie, my number 4 is, Future's End, another Voyager episode.
Ooh, that's on my secondary systems. I love Future's End. So what's your 5 words and a hashtag?
My 5 words are quasi-Cardassian totalitarians in LA. And my hashtag is footloose and fancy free 1996.
Perfect.
I picked this one for so many reasons. Star Trek is escapism. But this episode was almost like escapism from escapism. It's kind of a bit like the voyage home. I know how I'd react being thrown into the 24th century, but let's see how they'd cope in my time. It's brilliant sci-fi. They told a story so absurd it could be true. There's many links to current truths, like Henry Starling could be Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Can't say Elon Musk, he's canon now.
That's right.
I found myself really drawn to the character Rainn Robinson as well. She's unlike any character we've seen in Star Trek, probably until Tilly, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that comparison.
Because I love, as much as I love strong, reserved, no BS female characters in sci-fi, that's thankfully so prevalent on TV right now. I do quite like a smart, goofy woman with a sense of humor to relate to as well. So we don't see enough of that type, I don't think, of character in science fiction.
Agent Tuvok, what's up?
Breakfast is up. Have you made any progress?
I think so.
Chili burritos, footlong hot dogs, and Goliath gulps. This is not a breakfast. This is an afternoon at Dodger Stadium.
And that is a non sequitur. Would you please hand me a burrito?
Everything you guys do is just a little bit off.
These things are kind of crude. So much for sending a locator signal.
There is another option.
The radio dish at the observatory. We could use the same setup.
The same setup that I used to send that message to your... whatever it is up in orbit.
We will require your assistance.
No kidding.
Well?
Not in an empty stomach.
I felt the episode greatly enriched the series as a whole. I think I said at the beginning, a mark of a good episode is when it impacts future episodes, and it's kind of a turning point for Voyager. The Doctor gets his mobile emitter and the 29th century becomes a thing. I love this for so many reasons. I was so excited. I've been to LA a few times when I came over and saw you, Jim, but it was the first time I'd gone to do some of the Future's End things. Loved it.
It's amazing how well they captured 1996 LA in that episode. Oh, that's right. They filmed it in 1996. So I love that. And I've always thought that as well. You kind of compared it to the Voyage Home, which was 86 in San Francisco. It's got that same kind of vibe to it. I love Future's End. It's top 10 on my Voyager Trek ranks. How about you, Rob? Where's it on your list?
Oh, yeah, it's high up. It's love Future's End. It's brilliant. It's the two like guest stars, Ed Begley Jr. and Sarah Silverman, are just brilliant. Really, really good. Like Sam said, there's so many good things about this episode. There's so many funny bits. I think like you were saying, I wonder whether they were low on budget, because they must have saved a lot of money on that episode, because they just filmed where they were.
The sci-fi conceit of this episode is so strong. It's just the whole story with the time travel and the birth of the computer revolution, and even there's even some prescient stuff there at the end with some of those right-wing, you know, militia guys at the end were kind of scary. Yeah. And now it's like, wow, those guys are kind of actually a little more prominent than they were in 1996. But awesome, fun, escapist sci-fi episode. I love it. All right, Rob, what's your number four pick?
Well, I realized that I didn't say my five words in a hashtag.
Oh, we missed it. Let's hear it. What was it?
I completely missed it.
Let's go back.
The five words is really boring. This is for In Purgatory's Shadow and By Inferno's Light. So the five words was Cardassia joins with the Dominion. But my hashtag was one of my favorite bits in that episode, and it's when Quark talks to Zial about what's going to happen if you know the Dominion take over the station. And so my hashtag is gluttonous alcoholic sex maniacs.
I had a feeling that's where you were going with that. I love it. All right, that was a temporal flashback to round five.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the round four pick?
My round four pick. So my five words is Seska's farewell and Suda's redemption. And my hashtag is I'm a doctor, not a counterinsurgent. And it's Voyager's season two ender and season three beginning. It's basics part one and two.
I love that you chose this. It's so great. These picks are amazing.
I love basics. I think it's one of the episodes in the first three or four seasons of Voyager that I've probably watched the most. And it can be quite easily overlooked, but it's a really, really good two-parter for various reasons. It's got two of my favorite Voyager characters, with Seska and Suda, who are both like brilliantly played by their respective actors, Martha Hackett and
Brad Dorman.
They're both like phenomenal as those two people. I mean, Seska's such a brilliant character. She's devious, she's cunning, she's manipulative, and the fact that they bring her back so many times, even after she dies, shows how popular she is. And it's testament to how great a villain she is. And Suda, Lon Suda, is a really interesting character. He's, you know, initially really dark, sinister, quite cruel, but we see his development and his redemption and how hard he works to, you know, turn himself around and turn his life around with Tuvok's help. So I found his character really interesting. Yeah, and I like the focus on Suda in this episode and the dilemma that he faces in, he has to, you know, he's been working so hard to purge his violent feelings, but now he's got to use that to save Voyager and the crew. And we get to see his heroic side, which is great. And I love, like, him and the Doctor, you know, like, playing saboteurs on Voyager. That's really cool. And we've got a great cliffhanger with that shot of Voyager being taken over by the Kazon and leaving the crew on the planet. That's quite cool. And there's lots of humour in the episode as well, which is really important to me. That there's the scene where when Voyager's fighting the Kazon and they're projecting holographic ships into space, and B'Elanna accidentally sends the Doctor and his program into space, and you've got the Doctor shouting, "Man overboard!" That's great. Yeah, I really like that. And it's kind of bittersweet, the ending, because even though, you know, Seska's a villain and we kind of hate her, she's such a great character. So it was really sad to see the end of her, the kind of ending, because we still get to see her a few more times after this, but it's the last proper time we see her. Yeah, it's a brilliant episode. Yeah, it's great.
You had me at Seska and Lon Suter. We've got all day for those two at Trek Ranks. They are the literal best. So, Sam, how about you on basics?
You two are such my Trekkie friends. Like, we are all in sync here because I love that episode too. I am a massive Seska fan. I think she's brilliant as a villain. And top choice. I find myself defending her way too much. I controversially prefer her over Garak, if I'm honest, as a villain, because you understand her motives. Her motives are very clear. She wants to get home. She's not taking any. Well, she is taking prisoners, but you know she's going to get there, and you know, Voyager can get her home. So she needs that ship, and she's going to get home. And she's not going to let her kid get raised on some Kazon ship. She's, even though it turns out to be a Kazon child. So she's clear as daylight. She doesn't mess around. She doesn't manipulate. Yeah. Well, she doesn't manipulate, but she's clear with her intentions eventually. So good choice, Rob. Well done.
Anytime you're defending Seska, tag me, because I wanted to get in on that, because she is amazing. All right, so my round four pick is our first little bit of a cheat. It's actually a 2-hour episode, and it is Enterprise Season 1, Episode 1, Broken Bow, which my 5 words and a hashtag is best ever pilot introduces amazing threads, hashtag knocking you on your ass. So I love everything about this episode. It's got this amazing sense of adventure, just wonder and awe. And I really think they nailed it in terms of the setup for the series here. It kind of just launched everything. And I just mentioned it in my hashtag, but I love when Archer's battling T'Pol and he says, "You have no idea how much I'm restraining myself from knocking you on your ass."
"We may need to defer to their judgment."
"We've been deferring to their judgment for 100 years.
John,
how much longer?
"Until you've proven you're ready."
"Ready to what?"
"To look beyond your provincial attitudes and your volatile nature."
"Volatile? You have no idea how much I'm restraining myself from knocking you on your ass. These Klingons, they're anxious to get their man back. Fine. I can have my ship ready to go in 3 days. We'll take him back home. Alive."
That's a great line.
And Reed and Tucker. Reed and Tucker, "Keep your shirt on, Lieutenant." And you got Zefram Cochrane's speech, and I love the Sulaban. I love everything. I just love the pace of this episode. It's for me, it just works on every level. So it was Rick Berman and Brandon Braga did that script, and I love it. I just think it set it all up. What do you guys think of Broken Bow?
I was this close to putting it in as my one of my top five. Actually, it is a superb episode, and I remember it quite clearly. The anticipation and waiting for it to start and seeing trailers for it, because of course I don't remember seeing that with it. It would have been a bit too early for me with Voyager and Deep Space Nine to have trailers on the internet, but Enterprise, I vividly remember the campaign in the run up to it and the excitement, anticipation, and the characters you know, they were very well brought on, very well developed. You're right, it is one of the better starter episodes. Well, yeah. By miles. Yeah, great choice, Jim.
Rob, what's your take on Broken Bow?
Yeah, I really like it. It's a great series opener. I remember as well the feeling anticipation when Enterprise was coming out. Initially, I wasn't a huge fan of Enterprise, but it's grown on me massively, and I really like it now.
There's a ton of good elements. There's also the when Reed's breaking out the new phase pistols, and he's like, two settings, stun and kill. Best not to get them confused. So, really great episode.
Do you mean, I remember Reed. I remember, you know, he came on and he's all, you know. I actually thought he I said to Garner, I said, that's the worst British accent I've ever heard. I'm sure he's really for it. It was until I realized he was actually British. I was like, seriously?
That is classic. And I totally get it. I mean, Enterprise had a little bit of a slow start with the first two seasons too, Rob. So I know a lot of people took a while to come around. So, all right, let's move on to the Super Round, round three. Sam, what's your number three pick?
Previously on Enterprise.
Okay, I've gone for the hashtag is All Hail Empress Sato. The description is sexy, defiant, Cochrane and Gorn. It's In a Mirror Darkly from Enterprise. It's just such a fun episode. There was nothing really too deep and meaningful here. My next two, by the way, just as a warning, get a bit deep and meaningful.
We love fun episodes.
Fun episodes are great, aren't they? It gave some background to the already familiar Mirror Universe. We'd all been craving a return to it since Deep Space Nine. It gives you a lot of food for thought, doesn't it? I always wonder whether the opening scene where Zefram Cochrane shoots the Vulcan, I didn't know whether they were hinting whether that was the creation of the Mirror Universe. Like, was it the Kelvin moment of the Mirror Universe? Or whether it was showing in the Mirror Universe, this is what Cochrane would have done. The other thing is, before you think, oh, you know, there's the Star Trek universe and there's the Mirror Universe. And I remember after the, you know, just to get political here, I remember after certain votes going on in the world, I thought, oh my God, we're living in the Mirror Universe. What if this is our universe and we're just watching the Star Trek universe from afar?
That's what it feels like.
I particularly liked Hoshi in this episode. I think Linda Park did, she rocked evil Hoshi. It could have gone horribly wrong. Do you remember there was that episode of Voyager? It was kind of cringy watching Kes play a evil dictator, and it wasn't great, I didn't think. But I loved how Hoshi was able to manipulate everyone, was unassuming, and she handled it with the skill of a Romulan, to use an example. Previous episode we picked. Yep, good fun episode, loved it. And they changed the title score, didn't they? They changed the music. They really went all out and just, there was no explanation as to why we were watching a Mirror Universe episode. Yeah, we just were.
That's part of the beauty of it. So, and I love I love that theory. For more crazy Trekkie Girl theories, go to TrekkieGirls.com, because Sam's got a lot of them and they're awesome. But I love it. This could be the birth of the Mirror Universe.
They're always wrong. The Mirror Universe started with a vote about Brexit. That's my theory.
Classic. All right, Rob, what's your In a Mirror Darkly take?
Do you know, I've probably only ever seen this episode once, so I probably haven't got a huge amount to say about it. But the thing I do remember about it, like Sam was saying, is that the fact that they differed the intro scene. I clearly remember that. I remember thinking that was really, really cool.
Oh, you need to go back. You're going to have to go back and rewatch this one because it's so much fun.
I'm going to go back and watch this now.
Clearly. This one is too much fun. There's so much chewing of the scenery by like Von Armstrong as Admiral Forrest, who comes back for this episode because he was dead by this time. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry. All right. So then what's your number three pick, Rob? What do you got?
So my number three pick is the hashtag is the emissary has completed his task. And the five words are farewell to Deep Space Nine. And it's DS9 season 7's ending two-parter, What You Leave Behind.
Love it.
I couldn't really not include this because it's I think for me, it's probably the best
finale.
Best finale for a Star Trek series, because it just ties up all the loose ends really, really well. And I love Endgame, but some people feel that perhaps it doesn't end, you know, tie up those loose ends as well. But What You Leave Behind definitely does. I mean, it finishes the Dominion War nicely. It, you know, it sends people off home to different, you know, parts of the Alpha Quadrant. You've got Worf going to be the ambassador to the Federation ambassador to Kronos. You've got Chief O'Brien going back to Earth to teach at Starfleet Academy. It finishes it off really nicely. And yeah, we're saying farewell to this crew that we've followed for 7 years, finally seeing an end to the Dominion War. And yeah, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, was seeing the Federation Alliance win and defeat the Dominion. And there's quite a lot of humour in this episode, and I was going through and writing down all the bits that made me laugh. But you've got the scene where Esri's speaking to Worf, and she's basically saying, "Oh, you know, are you okay with me and Dr. Bashir being together?" And Worf saying, "You know, I'm happy for you." And then there's a pause, and he says, "But I am going to kill him." And Esri's like, "You're kidding, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, Jadzia said I never had a sense of humour." I like that bit. It's great. See, I like all the scenes with Kira, Damar, and Garak on Cardassia fighting against the Dominion. And I love that scene where they infiltrate the Dominion headquarters. Wayoon's just being a complete... I was going to swear then. He's just being really a jerk to Garak, and basically rubbing it in that, you know, they've wiped out most of Cardassia, and Garak just raises his phaser and shoots Wayoon. And it's the Founder's response. She's like, "Oh, I wish you had done that. That was Wayoon's last clone." And Garak's got like a big grin on his face. Like, you know, I was hoping you'd say that.
"Well, Colonel Kira, what a pleasant surprise."
"Pleasure's all mine.
The Federation fleet has surrounded the planet.
I want you to contact the Jem'Hadar and the Breen, and you order their ships to stand down.
And order the troops on Cardassia to do the same."
"I will do no such thing."
"Tell me, where's my old friend, Damar?"
"Damar's dead."
"What a pity."
"He died trying to free Cardassia."
"What's left of it?"
"I wish you hadn't done that. That was Wayoon's last clone."
"I was hoping you'd say that."
Yeah, it's brilliant. They, you know, Sisko defeats the Par race. Odo rejoins the Great Link. Kai Winn. I don't know. I always feel like saying she redeems herself right at the end, but then I think, does she? She doesn't really.
Nope.
She's probably only doing that to save herself.
Come on.
But she's Louise Fletcher's a great actress. I love Kai Winn. She's really, really like her character. Got the death of Damar. You know, he valiantly saves his people. And one of the best scenes for me, one of my most favourite scenes, is really touching, and it really gets me every time I watch it. It's the scene between Garak and Bashir on Cardassia, the last scene with Garak, you know, where Bashir's trying to comfort him, where they're reading off the casualty lists, and there's, you know, tens of millions of Cardassians have died, and Bashir's trying to reassure him, you know, you can rebuild Cardassia, and it's going to be all right. And that you've got that really sweet farewell between them, where, you know, I'm sure we'll see each other again. So that always gets me. And I love the battle sequences in What You Leave Behind are just amazing. Really, really, really good. And I love the Cardassian fleet turning against the Dominion. That's great. So, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, you can't really... I mean, it's a great summary because they tied up so many loose ends and accomplished so much in this episode.
They really,
it's really
do.
Strong.
And that the final shot with Jake and Kira on the station camera pulling back really slowly, and that the DS9 theme tune playing really slowly, you just like, oh, gets you every time.
Yeah, it's perfect. How about you, Sam? How'd you like What You Leave Behind?
top choice. Really good choice. So much happens in this episode. I've just been thinking back as you've been talking and thinking, God, a lot happens, especially in the first part of this two parts, doesn't it? The second part, I think, is very bittersweet, isn't it? You get all the flashbacks and all that. But the first part, the bit that really stands out for me is the battle on Cardassia. And I love that whole story. I'm a big fan of Damar. Everyone knows this. I love Damar. And seeing him come through at the end there is really a great transition for the character. And I was sad to see him die, but it also kind of made sense for the story. He died saving his people and fighting for it in the same way that they'd kind of decimated the Bajorans. And then is that the one where where Sisko and Admiral That's Ross right, have yeah. the drink on Cardassia?
Yeah,
is that
when they pour out the one and they don't, blood one.
Yeah, Martok. It's just that realization that war sucks. You know, no real victories. Like, yeah, okay, you've won the Battle of Cardassia, but winning did not feel good.
Yeah, I think the female founder has a little speech where she says to Kira that, you know, even your victory is going to, you know, it's not going to taste right. like a victory yes. because you'll have lost so many ships and so many people. So
yeah, it will feel like defeat. Yes, that's right. Yeah, but it's a very sweet episode. I love the, I love all the tie-ups except for one, and that's Captain Sisko. You know,
I was going to say that we're on the same page. It's kind of a bummer that he leaves.
Yeah. And it's just so unexplained. And I just don't think anyone would, you know. I don't think you'd be like, oh, pregnant wife. Oh, yeah, I'll, maybe. I didn't think he was that sort of man.
Well, it was apparently a higher calling. But before we move on, just a public service reminder that Damar killed Zial, Sam.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
All right. Well,
I don't have anything to console you, but
he does redeem himself. But never forget, he kills me all.
But that's the beautiful. That's that beautiful exchange, isn't there? Where Kira reminds him of that his wife and family are killed, and he says, "What sort of people do that?" And she just says, "Yedmar. Who? What sort of people do that?" And you know, it was his comeuppance, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right. So. My number three pick, we still do not have any duplicates. This is amazing. And we still don't, because my number three pick is, I'll do my five words in a hashtag first, game-changing deal with the devil, hashtag 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01. And my episode is Scorpion, the season 3 cliffhanger from Voyager. And it's just a genius mid-series reset for the entire show. I just love how it kind of changed the stakes and brings the Borg heavily into the mix for the final half of the series run. And I'm not just talking about the Borg as the big bad, but also the Borg with the addition of 7 of 9 as a character, because she's amazing. She's one of my top five overall character at our character ranks at Trek Ranks, and for good reason. I mean, she totally elevated the entire show as far as I'm concerned, and made that journey for everyone else even better. So, and the show is just incredible with Species 8472 and by the way, all those Species 8472 special effects totally stand the test of time. They're really, really well done. And I love the partnership with the Borg, and just everything in this episode is executed perfectly. So definitely one of my all-time favorites. In fact, it's my number two all-time favorite Voyager episode. So, Rob, what's your quick take on Scorpion?
It's fantastic. It's almost that from, I mean, not that there aren't any great Voyager episodes before that, because there clearly are, but it really, it's like a massive game changer. Voyager really picks up the pace from this point onwards. It's a great episode. Lots of great stuff happens.
Sam, how about you and Scorpion?
I want to change all mine now because I want Scorpion. I love that episode. So good. I remember just watching that show, that opening scene where you watch the planet get destroyed, like the Borg vessels just wiped out. You think, who could do this? It was a complete game. You're right, complete game changer for Voyager. Stepped up the series, and 7 of 9, yeah, perfect. Everything about her was spot on.
Yeah, I love that opening scene with Kim when he's counting, like, we've detected a Borg cube. Wait, there's 3 Borg cubes. There's 42 Borg cubes coming this way or something like that. It's just really
game over.
Yeah, really good. All right, so still no duplicates. Let's move on to round 2. Sam, what's your number 2 pick?
Last time on Deep Space 9.
Ooh, okay. My number 2 pick is Deep Space 9 Past Tense.
Ooh, yes.
Yes, yes. My hashtag is Bell Riots 2024. And my 5 words are the 21st century, too depressing, to quote Dr. Bashir.
All right. I've waited a long time for this. And I know I won't be disappointed. Ain't that right, new boy?
The name is Bell. Gabriel Bell.
So I realize now I've got a type of favorite two-parter. So they're so far all been time travel episodes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But this one... But this is a nice twist. It feels an unknown part of the Trek universe, being pre-Starfleet, but also our near future. Yeah. I remember first seeing it, thinking it was a bit implausible. It was a bit dystopian. But now the closer we get to 2024, the more probable it seems.
So probable. It's so scary.
Just as a recap, this is the sanctuary districts and all that. But the more I think about this episode... At first, this wasn't on my top 10 list. It was one of the reserve ones, I guess, when I wrote them down. And the more I thought about it, the more I kept bumping it up and up and up. And now it's my number 2. It's got all the good sci-fi stuff. You know, we can't learn from our history, then sci-fi is a good indicator. We can learn from what possibly could happen. We've got the temporal prime directive in there and making sacrifices to restore the timeline. But I was reflecting on it recently. I learned something new about myself, which I think is what Star Trek does best. And that was about the story. You know, Sisko and Bashir, they're found dazed and confused. And quite quickly, they're thrown into the sanctuary district, aren't they? And then Dax, in the same state... has kindness bestowed on her and gets assistance she requires. And I kind of always thought that was a commentary on how the world isn't all bad. You know, there are good people in bad times and bad luck. You can get bad luck being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I know this because I've occasionally had bad luck. But 99.95% of the time, I'm surrounded by kind strangers and forgiving law enforcement who help me. So I always thought that was kind of what this episode is. Scene was about. Maybe I didn't think about it too much, but then I suddenly had a thought, you know, a rather deep and meaningful thought. I thought, what if it's not luck or coincidence? What if Dax and I have something in common? And it's perhaps, do me and Dax not look like Sisko and Bashir? And I have no idea if that was the message that was intended in the episode, that Sisko and Bashir look a certain way, they get found on the street, on the corner, passed out, thrown into one place. Young lady, white, middle class looking, get some help and money and assistance. I never really thought about that, and I'm kind of ashamed that it's taken me this long into my adult life to think about it. But that's what I love about Star Trek, is it makes you think, and it keeps humanity and myself on my toes, always thinking and always questioning. So got a bit deep there, but That's why I picked this one.
That's what we do on Trek Ranks. We get deep, and that is – it's such a great pick. It's such a great two-part episode. It's so relevant to today, and your example there is pretty amazing. Rob, what's your take on Past Tense?
Yeah, it's another one I haven't really – I've kind of overlooked, but I think if I went back and watched it, I think there – like you're saying, I think there'd be quite a lot that I'd find really interesting about this, because I think it's one of those episodes where it's telling a story about, I was going to say our past, but kind of our present and, you know, society and humanity and how we treat people. So I think I recall it being a really interesting one, because it is quite a heavy episode, quite a deep, contemplative episode. So yeah, I'm definitely going to go back and watch that one.
Yeah, that's a good word, contemplative. That's this one makes you think.
Is that a word? I'm not sure. I think I might have made that up.
No, it is a word, and it makes you think, for sure. So, all right, Rob, what's your number two pick?
My number two is, I was going to say, shall I say the five words first or the hashtag first? Because I'm trying to think which won't give it away, but actually they'll both give it away. The five words is... I am Locutus of Borg, and the hashtag is resistance is futile. and it's TNG's The Best of Both Worlds. Now, I initially didn't think of this, and I was going back and watching some of the two-parters, and when I got to this, I thought, how can I not include this? It's from the get-go, you're instantly drawn into the episode where you see the away team see that massive crater on the planet, and you just think, what's done this huge amount of damage, so you're instantly enthralled and try and find out what's done this. So yeah, I think I assume it's the first major battle we see with the Borg, and we see how unstoppable they are. We see the introduction of the amazing Commander Shelby, who when I watched this when I was younger, I really disliked her, but now she's just brilliant. She's an amazing character. She's like, he's constantly butting heads with Riker. It's kind of like one-upmanship that him and her have, but they eventually come to respect each other, and Riker realizes how valuable she is.
Decade, Battlebridge.
Halt. Commander, you and I need to have a conversation.
You never ordered me not to discuss this with the captain.
You disagree with me? Fine. You need to take it to the captain? Fine. Through me. You do an end run around me again? I'll snap you back so hard you'll think you're a first-year cadet again.
May I speak frankly, sir?
By all means.
You're in my way.
Really? How terrible for you.
All you know how to do is play it safe. I suppose that's why someone like you sits in the shadow of a great man for as long as you have, passing up one command after another. Proceed to deck 8.
When it comes to this ship and this crew, you're damned right I play it safe.
If you can't make the big decisions, Commander, I suggest you make room for someone who can.
And obviously we see Picard get captured, turned into Locutus. Again, an epic cliffhanger with Locutus coming on screen and Riker saying to Worf, "Mr. Worf, fire!" And then it ends. You don't know what's going to happen. Is Locutus going to destroy the Enterprise? Is he going to destroy Earth? Is Riker going to have to kill his captain? It's like, I imagine at the time when that was airing, I imagine a lot of people were like, oh my God, I can't wait for the next episode. So yeah, that
was one of those people.
Yeah. When they capture Picard, we realize that, the Borg are even more powerful now because they've got his knowledge. And we see the devastation at Worf 359 with the Federation fleet obliterated, which kind of ties in nicely to DS9 and the beginning of DS9. Yeah, it's just a brilliant episode with loads of action, loads of drama. The Borg can never go wrong with the Borg. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, there's no way this episode was going to go through without Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah. someone had to pick
it. For sure. I mean, it is all-time great. Game-changing Trek. Sam, any quick thoughts on the Borg?
Amazing episode. Brilliant. Borg perfection. I too loved Commander Shelby. I wanted to be her when I grew up.
She's the best.
Yeah, she was really cool. I really liked her. I'm disappointed we didn't see more of her other than maybe possibly a vague reference. But yeah, she was a great character. Yeah, everything was right about that episode. I don't think I felt the anticipation and the cliffhanger. I think maybe I was a bit young and I just assumed everything was going to be okay the way it usually always is. like, oh, how do they get out of this one? But yeah, it was good. And of course,
I couldn't sleep for 3 months.
Oh, bless you. I think by the time it hit the UK, it was probably on the next day anyway. 2 years later. But yeah, I did. It's a game changer as well. I mean, without Best of Both Worlds, there'd be no First Contact or
any DS9, I guess.
Yeah, so.
That's brilliant. All right, so let's close out round two with my number two pick, and it's a bit of a prequel to Rob's number five pick, which was In Purgatory's Shadow and By Inferno's Light. My five words in a hashtag, you blew up your own shop, hashtag Garrick did it for a Nobrin Tain. And my episodes are Improbable Cause and The Die is Cast from season three of Deep Space Nine. They're top 10 on our Trek Ranks DS9 listing. These are the amazing episodes where it opens with Garrick's shop getting blown up. Turns out he did it himself because he saw an assassin was on the station and he was trying to figure out why he was there to kill him. And it all leads to an Nobrin Tain leading a combined Cardassian-Romulan force of the Obsidian Order and the Tal Shiar to try and wipe out the Founders. And of course, that doesn't end well. So I love these two episodes. It's basically 2 hours of just long scenes of characters talking. There's really not a lot of action. It's Garrick and Bashir. It's Odo and Garrick. It's Odo and Garrick and a Nobrin Tain. It's Garrick and Tain. It's Garrick torturing Odo. There's just so much exposition, but I love it. And I love exposition. There's just so many interesting back and forth. And we have two of the most famous Garrick quotes in this episode. One, that you should never tell the same lie twice, when Bashir tells him about the boy who cried wolf. And then he also, when he's getting called out by Sisko, he says, the truth is usually just an excuse for a lack of imagination. So I love these episodes. They literally have it all with the Obsidian Order, the Tal Shiar, the Dominion, the Founders. And I love this tit for tat between Garrick and Odo throughout the episode, which is just perfect. So, and it has Paul Dooley is an Nobrin Tain and Leland Orser as the Romulan commander Lovak. I love those two actors. Paul Dooley's Academy Award nominee and Leland Orser's one of the best, has quite a few Star Trek appearances. So anyway, I love these two. Sam, what's your take on these two?
Yep.
Do you remember them?
I do remember them, yes, but they don't stand out as strongly for me. And I think it probably is that I remember there was a lot of dialogue and going back and forth. So it doesn't, it's not like, it doesn't jump out as me as one of my favorite two-parters. But yeah, it was certainly a strong episode. And I remember a lot came out of it. The Tain and Garrick relationship is very complex and confusing.
for sure.
But no, good solid.
I love the cat and mouse of the kind of the dialogue.
It's been my observation that you always act from a sense of justice, or at least what you consider justice. There's no feeling behind what you do, no emotion beyond a certain distaste for loose ends and disorder. You don't know what it means to care about someone, do you? People are just interesting creatures to be studied and analyzed.
Is there any point to this?
Only that I find it interesting that you ascribe feelings and motivations to me that you know nothing about. Or am I wrong? Tell me, is there one person in this universe you do care for? One person who's more than just an interesting puzzle to be solved? Is there Odo? Anyone?
If there were, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
And that would be a wise decision.
How about you, Rob? What's your take?
I love these two episodes. I almost picked them instead of my number five pick.
All right.
I went back and forth deciding which one to
make. Me too. I did the same thing. I almost picked In Purgatory Shadow.
You must have known that we were going to, No, I really enjoy these episodes. Like you say, I love the character of Nobrin Tain and his relationship with Garrett. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and the Obsidian Order, the Tal Shiar, and that those fleet of ships going past, decloaking on DS9 and going into the wormhole.
That's so
great. And the realization when they open fire on the planet and there's no change in life signs, and then there's the whole all of the Dominion ships come out.
It's a great reveal.
It's almost like that. You want that Admiral Akbar moment from Star Wars, where it's a trap.
It's what it was, and you did not see it coming. I love it. All right, let's move on to round one and see if we can finally get a duplicate.
Last time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sam, what's your number one two-part episode?
Okay, see if you can guess it. I got my five words are, you obtuse piece of flotsam.
Oh, yes.
And my hashtag is... My hashtag is 47988, which is the star date. It's repeated a lot throughout the episode.
It is.
TNG, all good things.
Great pick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This episode had it all for me. It had time travel, science, humor. Also, fifth one in a row with time travel.
That's amazing. Your list is doing double duty. It's also your top five time travel episodes. I love it.
Amazing. Yeah. He's recording next week. there's a complete story arc. It connects it right back to the first story. Even if there were no movies, we fans had closure in a way that no other Star Trek series has matched, I don't think. A lot of people say this should have been the movie.
Yep.
I can't remember there being a strong emotional connection to this episode. It was kind of before I had the internet and... other than Deep Space Nine being on the air, I had no idea there was another movie around the corner. So as far as I was concerned, Star Trek was pretty much over forever. And so I remember being very sad when it finished. I was devastated when at the end of this episode. But it is quite similar to Endgame, I think. You know, we've got similar story arcs in there, right down to the weird pairing of characters like Troy and Worf and Seven and Chakotay. but yeah, I love this episode. It's well, Carol's favourite as well. I kind of pinched it off her. I don't know, Rob, if you have watched it. You might be a lot younger than me, I don't know. But when TNG was on, when the run-up to the last episode, Sky One in the UK would play these adverts, these teaser trailers, and they did it to Mariah Carey's "I Can't Live If Living Is Without You." Do these TNG adverts? I'd just be bawling. I mean, I just couldn't take it. It was terrible. That's kind of how I felt about it. I couldn't live without Star Trek. So, I mean, can we believe it? You know, now we're about to turn into 2018, and it's still going strong.
It's incredible finale. I always say it's not only the best Star Trek finale, but it's probably one of the best finales in the history of television. It's just incredible what they accomplished in this episode with all the heart and emotion. So, Rob, how about you? What's your take on it?
Yeah, it's a classic. It had to be picked. Someone had to pick it. I remember it's cool seeing all the characters in the future, seeing like Admiral Riker. I really liked, is it the USS Pastor, is it? Is it a Dr. Crusher's ship? That was really cool.
Yeah, so good.
It was cool seeing, you know, the future versions of them and their uniforms. And I think, are their uniforms, if I'm remembering right, are their uniforms the same as when we see in Endgame when they're in the future? Do they have the same uniforms, or am I, maybe I'm...
I think they are,
yeah. I think they're
very similar.
Yeah, it's a good call. So many good moments in this episode. And the pacing just never lets up. So good.
I love that you got you get visits from Chief O'Brien. Yep. He's back, and Tasha Yala. It was spot on.
I love it. All right, Rob, what's your number one pick?
My number one pick is, so the hashtag is the longest away mission in Starfleet history, and the five words is two Janeways better than one, and it's Voyager's finale, Endgame. So our first duplicate.
All right, we have a duplicate. I love it.
I think this is, Sam put it quite well at the beginning when she was talking about her criteria. It's all about what the episode means to you and what was going on with you at the time you're watching it and how you felt. And for me, Voyager is my favorite Trek series. Not the best, but it's my favorite. And I think that's because of it holds a special place in my life. It's a series I grew up with. it provided me with lots of comfort, security, and familiarity at difficult moments in my life. You know, my parents were getting divorced at the time, so it gave me that sense of security, like seeing the same people time and time again, a bit of escapism. So it was kind of like, Voyager was kind of like a, sounds really cheesy, but kind of like a surrogate family. And they were the crew that were most like a family to me. They were in this together, trying to get home. And it's a two-parter I've watched 1,000 times. I can probably perform Endgame, all parts in Endgame. And I'm a massive Janeway fan. So if it wasn't good enough that Captain Janeway was the focus of this episode, we get two Janeways in the form of Admiral Janeway from the future, which is really, really cool. And yeah, from the get-go, it's with this episode, you see Voyager coming home. So, you know, you're asking yourself, like, how do they get home? What happens? Where are the missing crew? So we don't see Seven and Chakotay. We see Tuvok ill. What happened to him? What's Janeway doing? Why is she negotiating with this Klingon for this time-traveling device? And there's so much emotion in that episode. Like I know Sam said, you know, we've been following their journey for the last 7 years. It's like saying farewell to a close friend. And, you know, you see Janeway saying farewell to Tuvok, which is, oh, just gets you right in the feels every time. When she, you know,
did I mention?
When she,
I was crying.
When she gives him the photo and kisses him on the head, it's like, oh my God, it's just blubbering like a baby. Oh. And then, yeah, again, humor is really important for me. There's so many funny bits in this. There's where Chakotay and Janeway are talking about Chell replacing Neelix in the mess hall, and they've got his sample menu with plasma leak soup and red alert chili and chicken warp cordon bleu.
Right.
And the doctor coming up with his name, and Paris saying, it took you 33 years to come up with Joe. Yeah, it's great to see the future versions of themselves. It's art when we see Voyager with the advanced armor. That is just so awesome. And the transphasic torpedoes. It's great seeing Alice. Is it Alice Krieger? Is that how you pronounce her surname?
Yep. As the Borg Queen.
Great seeing her back as the Borg Queen. Yeah.
And we get to see Maral grown up.
Tom
and B'Elanna's daughter. There's so much. I think people who ripped this episode are kind of missing the point that there's so much heart in this episode. It's really, really well done. And you can, there is a good moral argument in this. We didn't talk about it when Sam picked it, but there's a good moral argument of the pros and cons of what Janeway's doing, where you can literally say, is she doing a really terrible thing by eradicating this timeline and erasing all these people's lives?
Oh, totally.
And that's, there's really not much debate. It's a terrible thing, but the heart and emotion of the episode is so well done that you forgive that. I do love this episode.
I just want to add just like how when fans add their own story to it and share their own feelings towards it, I'm always very grateful for that. I thank Rob for bringing that to the discussion.
Agreed. Great point, Sam. It's always good to hear because, you know, it does that for all of us in different ways, you know, whether it's a series or a show or a specific moment. So, all right. My number one pick, we have another duplicate. It is, let's do my five words in a hashtag, Trek's iconic pop culture moment, hashtag motion picture quality. It's the best of both worlds, TNG, the season 3 cliffhanger. There's just no way I could not include this. It's so big and epic, and there's really not much more that needs to be said than how Rob summed it up. The one thing I will say, and I always defend, is part two is better than people like to kind of rip on part two and say it doesn't match the drama. But I actually think it's really clever and well done the way they come up with the idea of, all right, well, then let's pretend like we're doing our plan B that Picard knows about and actually have a plan C that he doesn't know about. And they send Data and Worf into kidnap him and bring him on when he doesn't see it coming. And I just think it's really clever and well done in terms of that element. There's a lot of good drama and suspense in part two. So although it does include what I always say is probably the worst line in the history of Star Trek, it makes me laugh every time when Picard is saying sleep and Beverly says he's exhausted. It's like, yeah, No kidding, Beverly. That's not what he means.
Like when Picard's when Deanna asks him how he feels, and he's like, "Oh, almost human."
Yeah,
but with a bit of a headache. Understatement.
But that's a good moment.
The soundtrack, hasn't it? The soundtrack to that.
Oh, so good.
Had so much. It's
yep. Thus my hashtag motion picture quality, because it really is epic in terms of that. So, okay. So let's run through some quick secondary system choices here and see what just missed your list, Sam. What was what did you want to include but you couldn't get on there?
There was Battle of the Binary Stars,
yeah.
And Hello. I left them out because they weren't clear cut too far in my Best of Both Worlds. Equinox for Voyager.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I love that one. And Enterprise Stormfront.
Oh good. I love Stormfront. Love Stormfront. How about you, Rob? Any on your list?
Oh yeah, lots. Yeah, I.
What do you want to give a special shout out to?
Definitely Equinox.
Yeah,
I love that episode. Caretaker was brilliant. I really like that. And Flesh and Blood. I love all episodes.
Oh,
all episodes with the Doctor.
Awesome.
All episodes with the Doctor are brilliant. So, and also the Vulcan.
That's great.
The Vulcan Hello and the Battle of the Binary Stars was also a good one.
So good. I had Flesh and Blood on my special shout outs list too, because I think it's totally underrated episode. It's on my top 10. For Voyager. And then most of my other picks were all picked by, it looks like, Sam. In a Mirror Darkly, Past Tense and Future's End, and All Good Things. I had all those on my list. So, and then my last one I'll say is Favor the Bold and Sacrifice of Angels, which ended the season 6 Dominion arc. Brilliant. When Damar kills Zial, Sam. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I can't defend it.
I'm just shocked that nobody picked Workforce from Voyager.
I like Workforce because I just think that I just want to work there. I just want to hang out and work there. It's just like a cool
place. It's not that bad.
All right. So many great episodes on this show. Two-part episodes are the best. So, all right. But now it's time to enter our regeneration cycle.
Computer, activate regeneration cycle. Alcoves beta and gamma.
All right, so just a quick recap of our choices here, and I'm going to run through some quick stats. We've got actually pretty amazing, the breakdown here. There were no picks from Discovery or TOS, although Discovery was right there. Menagerie was the only real TOS option and did not get picked, but we had 2 from Enterprise, 4 each from TNG and Deep Space Nine, 1 from Voyager, 5 from Voyager, and then we had 4 finales picked, 1 pilot and 2 duplicates. So I love that. I can't believe there was 4 picks for finales, 3 different finales. That's pretty impressive. So. So let's run through our picks here. So, Sam, what was your – run down your picks real quick from 5 to 1.
My 5th was Voyager Endgame. 4th was Voyager Future's End. 3 was Enterprise in a Mirror Darkly. 2, Deep Space Nine, Past Tense. And 1, TNG, All Good Things.
So you were all – you had a good cross-section. 2 Voyagers, 1 Enterprise, 1 DS9, and 1 – TNG. How about you, Rob? Run down your 5.
So my 5 was In Purgatory's Shadow by Inferno's Light from DS9. And my 4 was Basics from Voyager. My 3 was DS9's What You Leave Behind. My 2 was TNG's Best of Both Worlds. And my 1 was Voyager's Endgame.
Awesome. So you had 2 DS9. No, you had 2 DS9, 2 Voyagers, and 1 TNG, and I had Redemption from TNG, Broken Bow from Enterprise, Scorpion from Voyager, Improbable Cause, and The Die Is Cast from DS9 was my 2, and my 1 pick was The Best of Both Worlds from TNG. So I had 2 TNG and then 1 each from Enterprise, Voyager, and DS9. So pretty good cross-section of picks there. So, all right, as we do every week, we've once again entered a temporal causality loop. So before we can depart, it's time to hear from you.
Enterprise has been caught up in a temporal causality loop, and I suspect that something similar may have happened to you.
All right, so on our last episode, it was probably maybe our biggest deep cut topic yet. It was our top five pop culture references, and it was a lot of fun, but I knew it would be challenging in terms of some of the feedback. So, but nevertheless, we still got a ton of great feedback. I'm going to jump right into our temporal causality loop with some of our favorite subspace transmissions from our listeners. First up was Foz Rotten, who sent over his five-word summaries and a hashtag along with his unbelievable – all of his picks were totally unique. It was great. So his top five pop culture references were – number five was Observer Effect with Enterprise, and he chose the Andromeda Strain reference, which was incredible. So he had ever seen the Andromeda Strain, hashtag self-aware sci-fi. His number four pick was Voyager, Death Wish, The Guy in the Jeep, hashtag Woodstock Far Out, which I love that pick. And then he had from Enterprise, Garvin Creek, insists on calling me Mo, hashtag I Love Lucy is on tonight. A great pop culture moment from that episode. His number two was Elementary Dear Data, and that was his five words was Cumberbatch wasn't the first Sherlock. And then his number one, which I think was a popular pick from on most lists, Star Trek Beyond. Listen, all y'all, it's Sabotage. Hashtag I like the beats and shouting. I love that list. So I just had to read the whole thing because that was pretty amazing. So, all right. So we'll get out of our temporal causality loop after running down those picks. And as always, just want to say thanks, everyone, for all the amazing responses to Trek Ranks. Keep those lists coming to me at Trek Ranks so we can retweet them and possibly put them on the show. And, yeah, like I said, we want to hear from you. So put together your own list of top five two-part episodes and give us a call and tell us your list. It's easy. Call us at the Tricorder Transmissions at 609-512-5527 at 609-512-LLAP. Hopefully we'll hear from you so we can feature you on the next episode of Trek Ranks. And on the next episode of Trek Ranks, it will be our first episode of 2018. In January 2018 is the 25th anniversary of the launch of my personal favorite all-time Star Trek series, Deep Space Nine. So to get that celebration started, we're going to do our top five Ben Sisko episodes. So Sam and Rob, anything jumping out at you guys right away that you might immediately include on your list of top five Ben Sisko episodes? Sam, what do you got?
Oh, God, I can never remember the name of the episode. What is it? The one where he talks directly to the camera, where he meddles with the
yes, in a pale moonlight.
I can never remember that name in this when someone asked me direct. I was just in my room by myself. Oh, I like that one.
Gonna be hard not to pick that one. That's for sure. How about you, Rob? What's jumping out at you?
Yeah, I think everyone's gonna pick that one. That was gonna be my one. That's a great episode.
We might have some triplicate choices on that one. For sure. Definitely. What was that, Sam?
Far Beyond the Stars.
Oh, yes. Far Beyond the Stars.
Yeah, that's gotta be.
That's another classic. All right. So,
what's the one with where they play baseball? Is that Take Me Out to
the Hall of Fame? That's a good Sisko episode, too, Healer. He learns a lot there.
Yeah,
too.
I really like that one.
All right. So, before we wrap it up, a huge thanks to Rob Chapman and Sam Dara from the Trekkie Girls. Two awesome guests who know their Trek. We love that. So, Rob, tell everybody again how they can get a hold of you.
So you can get a hold of me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Trekkie Rob. And if you're into Trek novels, Trek books, I run a Trek book club on Twitter, which you can find at Trek Book Club. So, yeah, hit me up. Always happy to talk about Star Trek books.
That's a fun follow, the Trek Book Club. All right, and Sam and the Trekkie Girls.
Yeah, just at Trekkie Girls on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or TrekkieGirls.com.
All right, I love it. Tell Carol we want to get her on too.
Will do. I'll let her know. Oh, thank you so much for having us.
I hope you guys had fun. I love this. Love talking Trek with you guys. So much fun. Thanks again for everyone engaging with us here on episode 18 of the Trek Ranks podcast. As always, I want to close by saying, I'm looking forward to standing with you again here in this place where I belong.
Hi there, thanks again for listening. If you're cruising the galaxy looking for even more Trek talk, why not visit our good friends Bill and Dan over at TrekGeeks.com? They've got a great podcast that covers a wide range of Star Trek topics, so you're sure to find something you'll love. And if you're in the mood for some awesome tunes, then you really need to head over to 5YearMission.net. The guys are writing a song for every episode of the original series, and each one is absolutely brilliant. So that's TrekGeeks.com and 5YearMission.net. Check them out today.
Last time on Star Trek The Next Generation. Last time on Deep Space Nine. Last time on Star Trek Voyager.
Previously on Enterprise.
Previously on Enterprise.
Previously on Star Trek Discovery.